Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I hesitate a little bit to tell this story because I'm afraid I'm going to show my age. You see, I remember the transition from analog music to digital music. You see, I'm talking about that journey that took us from things like 8-track tapes and cassettes and vinyl records into CDs and beyond. See, I remember this transition, and I remember it vividly. My first CD, the first CD I ever bought, was Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation. I don't still have it. And it's a very... You still have it? Good. All right. Good. Now, I don't have it on vinyl, but I do have it on here. We'll get there. There's quite a transition. You see, the first vinyl record I ever bought was also in the Jackson family because it was Michael Jackson's Thriller, right? Which is a great record, and I still have that on vinyl. But it's been interesting, this transition from analog to digital, right? And the beginning of things like, and some of you may have done this, where you take, you know, this collection of different songs from different records and put them all on your own mixtape, right? Which, if you're one of those kids who just left a few minutes ago, right, you understand the concept of playlists on your iPod or your iPhone, right? It's the same thing. It's just a mixtape, except with a playlist, you can put a whole lot more songs on there, right? You're not confined to 45 or 60, or if you have one of the good 90-minute tapes, right? But one of the things that's true, if you remember this journey from analog music to digital music, especially if with those early CDs you paid attention to those three little letters, AAD, ADD, DDD, right? That talked about how it was recorded originally. Was it recorded in analog or digital? How was it mastered? Was it mastered in analog or digital? And then the last letter was always D because it was on a CD and it was always delivered in a digital format, right? Maybe some of you didn't pay attention to that, but I paid attention because music has always been an important thing to me. And how that journey happened, I found myself very interested. And if you were someone who did those mixtapes and things, you might know that when you made a mixtape and then you copied it for this friend and that, then they made a copy for their friend and they made a copy for their, you know that the more copies you made of that mixtape, the sound quality went down, right? It's because it's analog. We just understand with analog that there's signal degradation, there's quality loss as you do that. Now, of course, in the digital age, right, we don't have to worry about that loss anymore. I mean, if you're dealing with MP3s, right, there's a little bit of loss in that compression, but there's lossless compressions now. And so this journey from analog to digital has been a really, really interesting journey. And it's not only in analog, right? It's in video as well. You know, we're watching videos on YouTube that were recorded on somebody's iPhone, right? And so it's this straight digital process. And you get a lot of crispness when it comes to video or analog that's recorded and presented in a digital format. But there are those who say that analog is a better format. You get this sense of warmth out of the analog format. And even today, there's a bit of a resurgence in analog formats as some contemporary artists are releasing current material on vinyl records. It's sort of an interesting thing to see this come back. And yet, we might find ourselves stumble into a little bit of understanding about ourselves and our humanity and our faith life if we look at some of these ideas of analog and digital. You see, because just like with digital and analog sort of replication, especially as analog, as it sort of decays over time, we might understand that our own bodies are just like that. As we age, on a cellular and even DNA level, our bodies, those cells and things, they get injured or they sort of die, and our body has to recreate them using our DNA. But the problem is, we may see it as a problem. The problem is that they're not perfect copies that happen. Here's an example. I've noticed that as my body continues to copy hair, it's been doing it wrong because some of them are coming in the wrong color. And maybe some of us as we age are experiencing some similar things like that. And then we must face the reality that there gets to enough signal degradation in those copies that our bodies get old. And they begin to not work in the way that we want them to. And eventually there comes a time when our bodies stop working. And we see that very often as an end. Like that's the place to put the period, the punctuation mark at the end. And so it's a hard thing sometimes for us to see our own mortality, but also to see those of us that we love, those around us, those we're connected to, experience some of those same things. And so as we come into this time of All Saints Day, I think it's a good thing that we think about how we're affected by this signal loss, this signal degradation, this copying that's imperfect. Even as we recognize our own physical bodies and humanity are imperfect. And I want to read a scripture to you out of the Gospel of John. It's out of the 11th chapter. It's a scripture that I've read, I don't even know how many times. I've told you the story before, how about in my last appointment in Nebraska, I became known as the guy who does a good funeral, which I'm not sure that's a reputation I expected to get, but that's the reputation that I ended up with. And what a privilege it was to serve a number of families. And so many families selected this particular scripture out of the Gospel of John. It's a story that I hope is familiar to you. It's a story about Jesus coming to find that a friend of his named Lazarus had died and how Jesus responds. Now, there's a whole breadth of story, the Bethany narrative that we could get into, and we're just going to read a small portion of this, beginning with verse 32. Now, in light of our conversation with our youth today, I think it's important to know what translation I'm reading from, and this is the Common English Bible. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And imagine how many of us have said something similar when we too have experienced loss. When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. Now, I want to say a brief word about this, that he was deeply disturbed and troubled. If you look at the ancient Greek word that's used in the Gospel of John here, there's a bit that's missing. Right? And I'm not saying it's a mistranslation. I'm saying that for English, there may not be a direct equivalent. You see, the word in Greek not only means deeply disturbed and troubled, but there's an element of anger to it. Now, very often when we consider Jesus angry, right, we imagine his temple tantrum. That's what I like to call it, his temple tantrum. Excuse me. But when we think about, I'm sorry, can you find me some water? My lovely wife in the front row is being very helpful. When we envision Jesus being angry, this is, but we don't often think of him as angry in this particular circumstance. Thank you. And I want to come back to that. I want to say more about that, but I want to come back to it here as we continue the scripture. May have some static build up here. Good. It's because I'm excited. Good, I hope you are too. I think even when we talk about things that are difficult to talk about, there can be an energy that comes to us from beyond, an energy as we continue to come to know a little bit about our faith. And so maybe I am a little excited, or perhaps I'm just excitable. Here we go. So Jesus is deeply disturbed and troubled, and he asks, "Where have you laid him?" And they replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. Now, when we talk about Jesus being angry, I don't think he's angry that people are expressing grief around him. I think grief is a very real thing that we experience. And we ask some of those questions. God, why did you let this happen? Maybe if you'd been more present, this wouldn't happen. That's a natural response. And I don't think that that's why Jesus is angry in this case. And when we see Jesus himself begin to cry, I think that we might understand that grief can be a natural thing. Now, do I think that Jesus is crying for the same reason that the Jews and the others around were crying? No, I think it may have been a little bit different. And I think we can explore this. So Jesus begins to cry. And the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. Again, here's this word that can't be cleanly translated, but there's this element of anger as well. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Do you see all the stumbling blocks that come into play with this particular miracle story? How Jesus arrives and hears, first of all, not only tears and grief, but also hears a number of people saying, "Why are you doing what you're doing? Why didn't you fix this before it happened in the first place?" And then the physical stumbling block of a stone in front of the tomb, of the concern about the natural decay of a body and death. Do you see how there's the stumbling block of this body, even if it's able to get up, that it's constricted, it's covered with linen fabrics and bound? And do you see that even in Jesus' power, there is the possibility to overcome each of these stumbling blocks? That perhaps where it is that Jesus became angry and grieved was it the idea of facing death itself? Do you see how in this story we read that Jesus conquers death before Jesus has to face it himself? That perhaps Jesus and death are foes for which Jesus needs to prepare himself. And there is the expression of deep disturbance, perhaps of anger. And yet Jesus does so, and does so victoriously and miraculously and hopefully. We who feel the sting of death, who especially on this All Saints' Day might remember those who we have loved and lost certainly over the course of the last year, and those who may have lost over a greater period than a year, those who may have loved ones in their own lives who are with us today, and yet the reality of death may seem to loom. We may read from this scripture that Jesus faces all of the stumbling blocks, that Jesus faces death and conquers, whether it's his death or another's. And so we might see this as a possibility of hope. As we ourselves face our own stumbling blocks, we may stumble into the promise of life eternal. I'd like to turn your somewhat staticky attention to the book of Revelation. Very near the last section in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, just the first six verses. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will freely give water from the life-giving spring." Do you see that when it comes to the end, that we might be a people of hope? That we who respond in this somewhat analog life of signal loss and degradation still have an opportunity to live in this analog life, seeing its richness and its warmth, to be filled with hope, knowing that even in this degradation, it is not the end, because we are not only physical beings, friends, we are spiritual beings. There will indeed come a time when we will die into God. And yet here in this time, we may continue to respond to God's call. We may continue to work toward the building of God's kingdom on earth, to build a new city here in the hopes, indeed in the faith, that God continues to make all things new. And so, friends, even in the fear of those things that may come, we may be a people of hope and love and grace and peace in recognition of all that God makes new and responding to God's call to join in the newness that is created, building God's kingdom on earth. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we are grateful for your call. We are grateful for the strength that you give when we feel weak and broken. We are grateful for the empowerment that you place upon us as you call us to continue in building your kingdom. And so, God, you who created us, continue to call us and nourish us, so that we might be even more your people, even more your community. Continue to call us. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to open our hearts and ears so that we may respond. And continue to empower us so that we might be your people, redeemed by your Son. We pray in the name of your Son, our Christ. Amen.